Heavenly Father, we humbly come to before your word and asking your grace again before we open the Bible and read your wonderful text today from Matthew chapter 10. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to us from many different places in the Bible and help us to understand your mighty work, your salvation plan, and also reminding us of your grace all the time. Heavenly Father, this is a great time for us to look at one more time Matthew chapter 10 today. As we're going to open this special message, would you please bless me, bless my lips, so that I can speak only about Jesus Christ, and we'll be hearing only the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we'll be experiencing your presence here, and we'll give you honor and glory during this wonderful worship service. Lord, bless our hearts and be with us. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5-15. Page number is 1035 from our Pew Bibles, which is the ESV Bible. If you have a different version, that will be fine. Just Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 15. This is the Word of God. There's 12 Jesus sent out and instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver and copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or staff, for a laborer deserves his food. And whatever town in the village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave the house of town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. This is the Word of God. As I mentioned already, I'll be looking at different passages from Matthew chapter 10, so I will encourage you to open your Bibles and look at the Bibles as I'm going to point verses here and there. Now, the theme of a journey to the cross, that is our Lent series, this Lent series has started with John the Baptist 4 weeks ago, who has the last prophet of Israel. Now, we talked about his strong message that we don't want to hear it, but he said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He also called the religious leaders as the brood of vipers. As Isaiah said, John the Baptist surely prepared the way of the Lord, because many people came to listen to his messages and repent of their sins, and also they were baptized by water. That was his message. The second message was about the temptations of Jesus Christ. If you remember, it's about 3 weeks ago, we talked about the human Jesus Christ and his temptation by Satan. We were amazed that Jesus was tempted by Satan, but we're talking about the human Jesus side. We also have learned that it was part of God's salvation, his great salvation plan for the world. So we also remember how Jesus overcame Satan's three temptations. He defeated Satan with the power of the Word of God. We also talked about Jesus as the Word of God, who came to the world as a human being. As we are looking at the book of John, I know that Sunday school is looking at the book of John. I know you already covered that bread part. I believe that he's the bread. But we also talked about three individuals. We met them, different people, who were considered as outsiders or we can say marginalized people in Israel culture. Jesus touched the unclean leper with his hand. That was amazing. Jesus met the unclean Gentile and tried to go to his house, the centurion, to heal his servant. Jesus also remembered Peter's mother-in-law, who was sick, a forgotten woman, we can say that in Israel culture, and he touched her and healed her. That was kind of summary of my three messages over the past 3 weeks. All these stories are actually leading you and me to the cross, thinking of our life and thinking about Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, and Jesus' temptation, all three people. And also today's story is helping us to make us continue to make our journey to the cross, which is about discipleship. Today, we will be starting on kind of the big theme is discipleship. And that's why my sermon title is Three Callings. As Christians, we believe that God has called us to follow Christ, to be His disciples. And our text to be one of the best texts from the Bible for learning about discipleship. Now, because Jesus Himself has called His special disciples, 12 of them, and He taught them, guided them, three different callings of being disciples of Christ. Now, we're going to talk about three different callings here today, but talking about discipleship, that we cannot just say that. We cannot just categorize there are only three, more than three. But based on our text in Matthew 10, we will be looking at three major calls of being disciples of Jesus Christ. That's where I'm going. I'm leading you today. So our study on discipleship and the three callings will be general theme to you. Well, nothing new, and I heard about that over the years. Or our hearts would be troubled by what Jesus said to His disciples. Let's see the first call. That Jesus gives the instruction to His disciples before He sent out to the world. That is our verse in 5 and 6. He says, go nowhere among the Gentiles, but enter the no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His instruction is very specific. Now here, we are not confused. We should not confuse about what He's teaching. Oftentimes, because we are confused by what Jesus said to His disciples, because the message looks like limited to the people of Israel. Now, we should not misunderstand that Jesus did not limit the power of His message. He did not limit His message, the gospel, to Jews only. Here, Jesus' commission, we see that His disciple is Matthew 28. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So that's His ultimate goal. But here in Matthew 10, He said only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here Jesus has to, why? Jesus had to fulfill God's promise of the coming of the Messiah for the Israel. That is what He's trying to do. So in verse 5, Jesus sends out His disciples to the lost sheep first to proclaim to them that the Messiah has already came to fulfill God's promises. So the lost sheep had to know that the true shepherd came. The Messiah is here with them. So that's Jesus' intention, sending the disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That what they had to say was very simple. Jesus said that, but powerful in verse 7. The disciples were called and assigned to courageously preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God in verse 7. Very simple. They didn't have doctrines, or they didn't have one-on-one Christianity. They didn't have two class. What they say is verse 7, proclaim as you go, and saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How many words? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words there. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, John the Baptist started his ministry with the same phrase in chapter 3 and verse 2. And even Jesus' public ministry, his public ministry has started with the same phrase in chapter 4 and 17. Now, Jesus commands his disciples to bring the same message to the world. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Somehow this particular phrase has been forgotten in that time. Even this particular phrase has been forgotten in our time, the contemporary churches. Let's think about that. Believe it or not, many people, even many churches around us and in the world are driven by attractive ministries or events or teaching of life skills. We don't hear many people are saying, many preachers or Sunday school teachers are saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But Jesus commanded his disciples, no, you don't need nothing, but you bring this message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now this particular phrase carries a sense of urgency as we hear. It carries the message of now. Now is the time to come to God. Now is the time to repent of our sins. Now is the time to realize that who is the real king? Who is the Messiah? The kingdom of heaven is right now at hand. And in verse 7, Jesus talks about actually the value of his message to the world. He said, you have received without paying, give without pay. Which is a very interesting verse. When you think about God's grace, no one would be able to pay back. No one will be able to pay for the price of God's grace. And that we all receive God's divine grace, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sin on the cross as a gift from God. And we are redeemed. You and I, we became God's children and we are redeemed from our sins, not by our own merits or our payments or wisdom or anything, but it is a gift from God, Ephesians chapter 2, 8. So Jesus taught the disciple that you carry the same thing. You received God's grace. God forgave you your sins. So you are called to proclaim this same message, this amazing news to the world. You have received without paying, give without pay. The disciple also didn't have to worry about their own provisions when they go out, when they proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, which is verse 9 and 10. Jesus specifically mentioned that gold and silver and copper, you don't need it. You don't require all these things for your ministry. But everything will be provided by God. That's the beauty of going into the world and participating in kingdom ministry. And Jesus says in verse 10, no bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or staff, for the laborer deserves his food. Now two things we should be clarified here. What Jesus teaches here in verses 9 and 10 is not about extreme faith, just giving everything to the church. We don't need anything. I don't need my car, my job, my clothing. I'll give it to the church and I'll live for his kingdom, for his glory. Not that way, that extreme way. Rather here, Jesus teaches us about trusting God while we are performing the kingdom ministry. We trust God as his disciples. That's why Jesus said, no bag you need, no silver and gold and copper you need, because you are the laborer. Laborer deserves his food. Then notice what Jesus called his disciples in verse 10, for the laborer, which means workers, deserves his food. Now the disciples were called to work for the kingdom of God. They were, that means, workers of God's kingdom. So being a disciple means that we become God's workers in this world. As the workers deserve his food, that's very logical. We work something, we deserve food. And here God promises something for them. God promised them to provide everything for their needs. Actually, this teaching reminds us of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. This is what he said. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus' call for his disciples was not one time, but continuous working, ongoing call. Now, two verse forms we find in our text. In verse 5 and 6, we see the word go. In verse 5, go nowhere among the Gentiles. I'm going to explain to you later. It means simply like a going into. The meaning is, in original language, going into, moving into. In the verse 6, but Jesus said, go rather to the lost sheep. Now here the word go is imperative, which means commanding his disciples, which means really proceed and really go. In Greek grammar, it means not just only go, but it keep going. Now we have to remember that the disciples were called not just go one time, but they were called to keep going, keep delivering the message of Jesus Christ, keep proclaim the message of Jesus Christ from town to town and village to village. That's their call. So bringing the message of Jesus Christ to somebody or someone else or some area, it's not just one-time call, but keep doing it. That is verses 11 and 12. It said, go into a village, proclaim the message. If they listen, then stay there until you leave. Now Jesus taught his disciples that some people would hear your message and listen to the message, and some people will reject. And he also commanded them, although they are rejecting your words, your teaching, your job is keep moving, keep going. As we are thinking of the calls of disciples, that is also our call today. We are called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, to our neighbors, even people around us, not one time, but keep telling them about our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep going into the world with the power of the Jesus Christ. That is a call. They were called to be proclaim the word of God. That is the first call. But what about the second call? In verse 16, this is a very difficult part. I was struggling with this part a few days. In verse 16, what Jesus said in 16 is very shocking. And Jesus mentioned that you are workers, right? You deserve food. You deserve things that God will provide. But here, verse 16, behold, Matthew's favorite word, behold, look, I am sending you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves. What Jesus is saying that you are about to do my job, but that's not fun. The disciples were called to be persecuted. Now, Jesus didn't call his disciples to be successful. But from our text, we see that to be persecuted, sending you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves. So can we imagine defenseless sheep in the midst of hungry wolves? Now here, what Jesus portrays here in this particular situation is the reality of the world that we are going in, we are going to. The people will not listen to the gospel. That's obvious. People will reject the message of Jesus Christ. And because of that, people will persecute you and me, God's people. That Jesus Christ saying that people will persecute you, my disciples. Now, the metaphor Jesus described in this text to his disciples was very, very discouraging. In verse 17, he said, They will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. Which means their own people, because they are going into the lost sheep of the Israel, their own people, the Jews, will not hear the message of God's kingdom, but they will persecute the disciples. Their own people, the Jews, will reject the message of Jesus Christ, but they will persecute them. What about verse 18? You will be dragged before governors and kings. Now, Jesus expands his explanation to the world. The world and the people in the world will reject Christ and all the messages that you will bring. That's not the end of the story. The world and people, everybody will persecute you. Wow. We became God's people for that. Now, here, what we have to think about is Jesus did not say that the disciples, you must look for persecutions. Not that way. But Jesus says that they have to be careful and be wise and be ready to sometimes move on when a severe persecution comes, which is verse 16. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. That means when you have persecutions, be wise and be innocent. And verse 23, flee to the next. So here Jesus clearly teaches that we don't have to face all the persecution. Yo, there is a persecution. I will go there. Persecute me. Not that way. Jesus reminds here his disciples that they are called to be persecuted. When it comes, you have to be wise, but when you cannot escape, that is your call. And Jesus explains why in verse 18. You will be dragged before the governors and kings. Why? For my sake. To bear witness before them and the Gentiles. Have you ever thought about that? That is our call. To bear witness of Jesus Christ all the time. Before the world. Have you ever thought about being persecuted because of that? Not for ourselves, because well, we did something, but for God, for Jesus Christ. Not for our own honor and glory, but we are being persecuted for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever imagined that particular situation? Have you ever had that situation? Although I say that I'm a pastor, I've been studying and trying to be the follower of Jesus Christ, it's very difficult to have that particular situation. The meaning of persecution that Jesus describes to his disciple is, for the sake of Jesus Christ, you will be persecuted. And Jesus says it again in verse 22, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Now, literally, if we can translate this particular text, if you like a literally translation, will be like this. You will be hated by all, this is the same, but later part is, because of my name. Have you ever thought about it being hated by all? Including our own family members. Verse 21, this is very severe. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. They're killing each other. What a horrible situation that Jesus Christ is describing. But it's coming. It's the reality that we are facing. We will be hated by all, even our family members. Being hated by all because of the name of Jesus Christ that we carry. Being persecuted by all because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ. We will be persecuted. Now Jesus explains the meaning of being persecuted again in verse 25. It is enough for the disciples to be like his teacher and the servant like his master, which means Jesus himself was rejected by his own people, many people. Jesus himself was persecuted by the leaders of Israel. Jesus himself was crucified on the cross by the Romans. And Jesus suffered persecution. Therefore, disciples should not expect better than that. Should not expect better life. But the same suffering will be ours, and persecution of Jesus Christ will be somehow ours. We are carrying his suffering to the cross as we are going to, or making our journey to an Easter service. Being persecuted and being hated by all are actually spiritual blessings for us. Because it is a way, it's a way to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a way of sharing his suffering and persecution. It's a way of preparing our hearts for the cross. Now the secret of being the disciple of Jesus Christ is described in verses 38 and 39. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Disciple means taking the cross. Taking the cross means to be ready to die. Is it too hard for you and me? Jesus said, take your cross and follow me. Are we ready to die for Christ? That is the cost of discipleship. How many of us can say that, Lord, I'm ready to die for you? Jesus demands his disciples to follow him, nothing less than a death to self. That's why Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The message that the disciples carried to the world is now our call. Brothers and sisters, somehow we have to realize that we, as God's people, need to bring the message of repentance to the world as Jesus did, as John the Baptist did, as his disciple did. The message of forgiveness of sins. This is our call, that we need to make the world somehow uncomfortable with the message of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to listen to some famous pastors' sermons. That's been what I've been doing so many years. Because you can go to the internet and you can find a podcast, something like that. But a lot of preachers and a lot of people are talking about blessings too much. But what Jesus teaches here is that his message is not, yeah, that is true. The message of Jesus Christ will make them, you know, happy, bring God's blessing as well. But eventually, God's message, the message of Jesus Christ, will make the world uncomfortable. That's why we will be hated by all the people. By the world, by the governors, by our own family members. And we should not be afraid of being rejected or being persecuted by all. And Jesus said in verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. I don't know. I do have my own family. I have to support them. I have to do good things. But as I'm writing this message, what am I supposed to do with this God's word? What about our nation? What about our state? What we see, what's happening in this world? Do we really speak up for the truth of God's words? For all things happening to us? Are we ready to say that? Are we ready to accept all the persecutions from the world governors because I'm preaching about gay marriage is wrong because Jesus said, God, the Bible says it's not right. We'll be judged by that. But somehow in the future, I'll be, maybe police will come and they will arrest me. That will happen. But the question is, are we ready for that or we fear of persecutions from the world, so we don't share the message of Jesus Christ? Are we really living this world for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ or for our own sake? It is our call to be persecuted. The disciples were also called to endure to the end. Verse 22. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now here, meaning of the endure in Greek is very long. To stay in a place beyond an unexpected point of time. So I rather read endure rather than using this all long explanation. Another meaning is endure means in Greek is to maintain a belief in the face of opposition. So we know what does it mean. Now, the NIV translates based on that, the meaning of the endure in Greek, the NIV translates it like this, stand firm. Now, stand firm means a complete and continuous commitment to Jesus Christ during persecution. Now, we should not misunderstand the meaning of the will be saved here in verse 28. Two, Jesus is not talking about saving grace from our, you know, endurance. It's not. Rather, Jesus urges his disciples to continually or faithfully endure and stand firm during your suffering and hardships and persecutions until to the end of time, until it ends. Until the persecution ends, either when Jesus Christ comes. Different understandings from different scholars. But the truth is, the world will be more hostile to you and me toward Christ and to His church. And the persecutions and threats for the Christians will be more intensified in our country. What do we do? It is our call to endure, holding our faith in Christ, proclaim the word of God, just endure to the end. One of my favorite scholars, his name is Leon Morris, and he says about this particular part, those who endure through the persecutions will, in the end, find themselves in the presence of their Lord forever. What a beautiful description. Endure means we will see our Lord at the end. Brothers, sisters, we talked about three things. It is our call to proclaim the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. That's our call. And it is our call to be persecuted because of the name of Jesus Christ. It is our call to endure every hardship and persecution until Jesus Christ comes again. Now, Jesus concludes his teaching in verse 41, which is a wonderful verse. He says, the one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. What he is talking about is, yes, proclaim the word of God and you will be persecuted. You have to endure everything, but that's not the end of the story. You will be experiencing God's reward. That's comforting words. And some people in the world, which means God's chosen people, will respond to the message of Jesus Christ, will come to God. That's our rewards. When we all go outside, when we just, like a vacation Bible school, we will go outside and knock on the door and asking people to come. When they come, when they start believing in Jesus Christ, that's our rewards. And we will share God's reward with them. And then God will also reward us for our endurance and faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, our conclusion should be from Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's not an easy message, but we take it. It is our call. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the message that we just looked at from Matthew chapter 10. Lord, it's very difficult when we hear persecutions or hardships because of your name, because of our faith in you. But it is true that we are facing that troubles are coming to us, even in our state, in our nation. Lord, please help us to continue to trust in you, continue to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the world, and continue to endure to the end. Would you please bless our church, all the members? This is our job. This is our call. Go to the world. Boldly keep telling about Jesus Christ to the world. We pray also in Jesus' name. Amen.